My bride was saying that it's a different kind of hymn today. All those songs in the book are songs that were written about God. That song was written about God, the world that he created, and he created it for us. That's the only reason we have earth and the stars and the moon and the sky and the green grass and everything. God did that for you and did that for me. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We just praised him. Say with me, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Give him praise. Be seated. Have a good time at church. Thank you. Lily, thank you for bringing my friend to church today. God bless you. Also want to say thank you to Andre. Everybody say thank you to Andre for filling in for Greg last week. He did a great job. Greg, welcome home. Greg was blessed to be with his son. His son wanted to spend some time with dad. How about that? Is that not a blessing from God? He what? He dresses you. Greg, I can't say anything about how he dresses you because my wife dresses me. She makes sure my pants are ironed. She makes sure my shirts are ironed. She makes sure everything is where they need to be. That's my bride. That's my wife. That's what she does for me. And I give her agita. That's my job. In your bulletin that I know you all have, we have this what we call responsive reading. I want Chip to be impressed with how good we read. So when I read, and then you read, and then I read again. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. That's right. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. They do not call upon God. They are in great fear where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them. Hallelujah. When God brings back the captivity of his people, Israel will be glad. We should all be glad. Let's all be glad together. Amen. God is watching. Yeah, if you want to clap, I'd give them praise if I were you. Listen, the angels in heaven, they have a job. They sit around the throne and they praise him, and they go around and they praise him. So if you want to join them or not, it's up to you. But if you say, I don't want the angels to work any more than me, so you give God praise. You give God glory. Come on, this is his house. I want you to be full of that spirit. I want you to be full of that spirit at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday. When you go to the store, whatever you're doing, I want you to be full of the spirit of God. It's possible, and it changes your life. Nobody said amen. I guess you don't agree. I'm going to pray and ask God to bless us this morning. A simple prayer. Let the words of our mouth, Lord, and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let what we do today in this church, Lord, be acceptable to you and your sight and your presence, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church says, peace is no little thing, brothers and sisters. Peace is no little thing. I said something to somebody the other day, and they didn't quite agree with me, or they didn't disagree, but I see a sign a lot of times. People hold up a sign, Yvonne, that says, "No justice, no peace." Have anybody ever seen that? They hold up a sign that said, "No justice, no peace," as if they're trying to tell us something. And I tell you what, it's exactly true. Without justice, there is no peace. When you commit a crime, justice says you need to be put away. When you hurt somebody else, justice says you need to pay that price. And a lot of these things are happening in the world today because nobody is paying the price anymore. People are running crazy. They're running into places and taking things. They're hurting people. They're reaching out and harming people. They're doing all kinds of crazy things because there is no justice. Ready? There's no peace. There's not a freedom. And I said that as we were driving. This person passed us by on a side road and passed another. I said, nobody cares anymore because there's no penalty to be paid. They go through red lights. They speed. They hurt people. They run into people. They run into your car in the parking lot and don't do anything because nobody is paying a price. So that little sign that they're carrying, they might not understand how true it is. No justice, no peace, because if we don't do justice to the people who harm us, there won't be any peace for any of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Chipper, we do this quiz every Sunday. I have it's multiple choice, and let me nobody gets them all right anyway, so just jump in there. All the way back home from Michigan, guys, I'm so happy. God bless you. God answered that prayer, you know, Norman. We've been praying for you. We mention you all the time, and God answered our prayer. He answered a prayer from heaven. That's no little thing. Amen? I just believe that. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but what else? And I have three choices for you. One is copper, one is wisdom, and one is wood. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but what else? How many think copper? Vessels of copper? Anybody want to say wisdom? Vessels of wood. How many want to say wood? Vessels of wood. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but what else? It says in 2 Timothy, a house should be also built of wood and of the earth. Good going, Deacon Chuck. What have the suffering people of Jerusalem had to pay for? In the book of Lamentations, the Israelites were in Jerusalem was very bad at the time and really tough times. And there were things that they actually had to pay for. Did they have to pay for water and wood? Did they have to pay for water and bread? Or did they have to pay for milk and bread? In real tough times, in a time of suffering, people of Jerusalem had to pay for what? How many think water and wood? They had to pay for the water and the wood. How many say water and bread they had to pay for? Anybody want to say milk and bread they had to pay for? According to the people of Jerusalem, because it was scarce after the destruction, the people of Jerusalem had to pay for water and bread. They had to pay for that. This is beautiful. The book of Lamentations. That's a beautiful book. What prayer does the author of Lamentations end his book with? At the end, no looking now, no cheating. At the end of the book, he ends with a prayer. Does his prayer say, "Renew our days as old"? Does it say, "Comfort our afflictions"? Or does it say, "Rejoice and be glad"? What does the author say at the end of the book? How many think he says, "Renew our days of old"? Anybody? How many they think he meant, "Comfort our afflictions, Lord"? How many want to say, "Rejoice and be glad"? Thank you, Lord. His prayer at the end of the book, he says, "Turn to people righteous again. Renew our days of old." He's saying, "Lord, it's getting really bad. You need to renew our days of old." And we say, how many think we say that today? How many people think things are really bad today? And you say you want to return to the things of old. Hold that thought. I got one more. I have to pronounce the name right. I think Dave's, it's L-A-B-A-N, David, how do you pronounce it? Laban? 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 I get a Laban. Anybody Laban? I have two, I have five, no. According to Jacob, how many times did Laban change Jacob's wages while he served him? You all remember that Jacob had to serve him
A long time.
But how many times did he change his wages? He offered him something and changed it. Did he do it 5 times? Did he do it 10 times? Or did he do it 20 times? How many times did Jacob Laban change Jacob's wages? How many think it was 5 times? Anybody? How many want to say 10 times? How about 20 times he changed his wages? 20 times? No. He says, Jacob says, your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. 10 times. Every time he made a deal with him, when he got to the deal, he changed it. He moved the goalpost. Anybody ever know that expression? They move the goalpost when they get something that wasn't, that ain't good enough. I think we see that in the world a lot today. Just my impression. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How's everybody today? I'm excited, so you better get ready. I know, I'm always excited. I get it. Hallelujah. Why? Why did it happen? What happened? What could have possibly happened? There's a phrase that I wrote down. It's called celestial prominence. That sound important? Celestial prominence. Prominence means the state of being important or famous. Why did it happen? He was the music minister in heaven. He was the music minister in heaven. He got to play, I don't know about singing, he never said, but he got to play music for God. He was God's cherub. He was the God's right there. God made him beautiful. According to the book of Ezekiel, every jewel was upon him. He was beautiful in the sight. He was great. He was the music director. He played music for Gabriel and for Michael. He played music for all the angels. Hallelujah. He was called the bright morning star. Wow. Why? What happened? Amen. And war broke out in heaven. Why? Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that great serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. How much? He was cast to earth and his angels were cast with him. By the way, Satan means accuser. Then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused before our God day and night has been cast down. Wow. Oh. Why? Anybody ever wonder why? You're the reason. You're the reason. He was created by God. The angels were created by who? God. We were created by God in His image. We were created by God in God's image. Satan, Lucifer, was created by God. He was a ministering angel and a great one. He had God's favor. He's in heaven serving God. This is great. Look at everybody looks at me. Look how beautiful I am. All the angels and everything. And then he hears, let there be light. What are you doing? Let's make man and woman in our image. What are you doing? What are you talking about? I'm here. No, what do you mean you're? We're not. What are you doing? And they're going to multiply, and they're going to have rule over the whole earth, and they're going to have. Wait a minute. What are you doing? Who are they? Wait a minute. I'm your guy. What are you doing? You don't need them. You got me. What are you doing? You mean I got to serve them? Are you kidding? Look at those. What are you talking about? I'm not serving them. I serve you. I'm a God. I'm beautiful. You're the reason why Satan is here today. Why what's going on? You're the reason. We were created in whose image, church? God's image. Satan was simply created. Let there be light. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Pride, jealousy, hate, revenge, anger, evil upon evil, all out disobedience toward God, especially toward us, if we let him. I just read he was cast out of heaven. Him and Michael started fighting because he didn't want to serve us. He didn't want any part of that because he was beautiful and he was right there. He didn't want to lose his place with God. Just like the prodigal son, amen? He thought for some reason, because of us, he was going to lose his place with God. And this anger and this vile came out of him. And he started fighting with God. Not to be God, not to fight. I wonder, why did he do this? And when I read this, I said, yes, that's why he did it. Because he was jealous of you. He was jealous of us. He hated us. He hates you. Say that with me. Satan hates you today. Understand what that means. He hates you. Because he thinks you're the reason why God didn't have favor. And God never didn't have favor with him. He just created us different. And he made us a little lower than the angels. Understand, the word said we're a little lower than the angels because nobody can fly. Nobody. You could, Sergio, you can't fly, Deacon, can you yet? So we can't fly. We can't do with the angels. We are not as powerful yet because we're in our mortal bodies. But soon, very soon, like my brother Mark Bush, he's in heaven now. He's larger than the angels. See, he's above the angels. Now, Lucifer would have to worship him. See, we have to serve him. Lucifer didn't want any part of that. You see, that's pride. Anybody ever read the Bible about pride? Just look at your bulletin. Marilyn's got two in there about what happens with pride. You're seeing it with your own eyes, pride. Let me tell you this again. This is amazing. I can go on for hours with this one, so hold me back. Satan hates you. He hates you. He hates everything you stand for because he feels like you're the reason why he's not in favor with God. He never was out of it. Understand, like the prodigal son. Remember the brother say, well, why are you giving him everything? And the father said to the other son, everything mine is yours. But your brother came back. He was lost and now he's found. Satan didn't see that. He thought he was losing now. He was cast out. I just read that to you. It's in Revelation. The angels fought and God said, get out. And he sent them where? Here. Who's the first person that Satan goes to? He's going to mess this up really bad. He's going to mess with God really bad. So he goes to Eve. He goes to Eve and he said, hey, what are you talking about? One little lie. He's going to tell a lie to Eve. Actually, he's going to quote scripture. Amen. And he's going to entice her with, well, surely God won't kill you for that. You can eat. Look at how beautiful that tree is. You can eat of that. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Which means we get in all these battles in life because we don't have the word of God inside our, we haven't eaten this word yet. So we panic and we fall short. So he goes to Eve. And he entices her. He tricks her. Yeah, she takes a bite. And what does she do next? Yeah, take it. This is good. Satan's gone. I'm winning now. Go ahead, Adam. Take a bite. And Adam took a bite. I won now. See, God, I see what I did. Who was next? Who's next in line? How about Cain? Anybody remember Cain and Abel? They were brothers. It said, Cain, rage, anger, took out his brother. It said this, God told him that they brought an offering. And they brought an offering, and Abel's was accepted, but Cain was. Now listen to what God says to Cain. Just listen. He said, God told him, sin was at your door. He said, if you do well, Cain, will you not be accepted? He wasn't mad at him. He just said, your offering wasn't accepted right now. He said, don't be upset. If you do well, you'll be accepted. He said, and if you do not do well, sin lies at your door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Sin's desire was for who? Cain. He's saying, now your offering wasn't acceptable, but don't get mad, don't get all messed up, because sin is at your door. Don't let that rage, don't let that anger, don't let that hate ride up, because it wants you. It wants to destroy who you are. And what happened? Satan got him. And Cain killed his brother. Out of revenge, out of hate, out of anger. Amen? Satan did that because he hates you. Hallelujah. So here it is, brothers and sisters. We are the tools of Satan's revenge. To turn our hearts away from God, to mock the word, mock the truth, exactly like he told Eve. Think about that. You're the tool. See, the only thing he's got now is how many people that God created in his own image, how many people can he turn away from God? That's his only job now, to get people's eyes off of Jesus, off the light, off the sky, and turn it onto man in flesh. That's his trick. That's what he got. And he thinks the more people that turn away from God, the greater his victory. He's a liar. And he loses, but that's what he's doing, and that's why you see what you're seeing. How many people see hate in the world today? Come on, be honest. I'm seeing it. You see people doing things that are abominable and living all kinds of things. Because Satan is right there, and Satan rules us. And he thinks that if he comes against you, it's going to hurt God. You know the truth? Who's going to hurt first? You. You are the tool that he's using, just like he did with Eve. Now let's talk a little bit more about the accuser. You think you're going to be in a special place? Well, I got God on my side, yeah? That's true. But you got to have knowledge. You got to have it inside of you. So who did he go to next? Anybody? He went to Jesus. Let me tell you something. If Satan's got enough pride and arrogance to go to Jesus, to try to trick Jesus, don't think for a second. He's got you by the... He's got you because you give him all this information. We all do it. Raise your hands. You all do. I can't do this. I can't do that. Your language, your attitude, everything you do. You give him all this information about what you like to do, and he writes it in the book. Oh, there's Faith. Oh, I know her. I can go there. That's because she said this one. See, you see, we give Satan all this knowledge of our lives. We confess things that we can't do that. God can't do that. I don't believe that. He said, gotcha. But he tried to tempt Jesus. Oh my God. That's his pride. He knew who Jesus was. But there he is. Oh, he's going to try to make him conform to Satan's way. So he used the word of God. Anybody, we're going to read later about false prophets. We said at Bible study, what's the first thing a false prophet has to know before he can become a false prophet? The word of God. You can't be a false prophet unless you know what the word of God is, so you know where to bend it. So he tried to bend it a little bit with Jesus. Conform. Oh, you know, why don't you? And Jesus' answer was, it is written. Satan tried to twist and alter what the word said, and he's doing it today with what the word says. What the word said 2,000 years ago still said today. What's written in the Old Testament still stands today, amen? What we learned from the prophets and Jonah and David, it still stands today. Can I get an amen? But he's still trying. He's got false prophets and false teachers. He's got unbelievers. He's got people who mock the word of God working for him. You see, he came down with a few angels. I don't know how many, it doesn't say. But he's got a lot of people down here working for him now. Can I get an amen? Because he thinks we're the tool he's going to use to get back at God. I'll show you, God, all these people you made in your image. Yeah, we'll show you. They're going to hate you when I'm through. Don't let it happen to you. Jesus said false prophets and teachers will do that today. Let me read to you. John 16, I'm going to read one verse. Listen to this. The words are written in red. And when they're written in red, what does it mean, church? Jesus, thank you. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. When you see the abominations, when you see the hate, you say, yeah. Yeah, Jesus told me about that. I've seen that. And you rebuke it. You walk away. You put your hand up. You walk away. Don't argue with a fool. Amen. How many know that's true? Don't argue with a fool. If somebody says there's no God or this book is terrible, don't argue with them. You rebuke them. We're going to get to that later. That's what you do. That's your job. Amen? Because you argue with a fool, you end up sounding like one. They're not going to believe you. They're not going to change your mind. But you're standing on a foundation. Don't let anybody push you off. Anything that takes our eyes off of Jesus, turns us away, makes us doubt and deny. And I tell you again, don't let him do that to you. This church should be full of the Spirit of God, and I know it is, but I mean really full. You should be really full of the Spirit of God, because God is inside of you. Don't let Satan take anything from you. Don't let him cheat you. Amen? The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He said that to Eve. He enticed her. The greatest way to defeat evil is to know it. Let me say this again. You might want to write this on your refrigerator. The greatest way to defeat Satan is to know his tools, to know his tricks. The greatest way to defeat evil is to know it, how it works, what it looks like. Are you ready, church? In your life. Because what it looks like in my life is not going to be the same way it looks like in your life. You might not have the sins I have, or the shortcomings I have, or the flesh that I have. You have others. But whatever it is, he knows where to go for you. He knows what to get and how to get to you. When you fight with your husband and your wife, you fight with your friends, he's saying, yeah, yeah, keep fighting, keep fighting. And God is saying, love one another, see? When you hang up on somebody and you're mad, or you do silly things, Satan's saying, yeah, I got you. His tools are working. He wants to destroy you. Let me say this again. I want you to understand, Satan wants to destroy you because he hates you because of what you did to him in heaven. He blames you. It wasn't anything we did. Hallelujah. Here it is. But even the serpent did not see his first lie actually exposed who he was and opened the door for God. God created Adam and Eve. By the way, he created them to multiply. Multiply. A man and a woman. I can't make that up. You can hate me for saying that, but he created a man and a woman. And a man and a woman were to multiply the earth, to fill the earth with other men and women that created in God's image. That's why he made man and women. That's the only reason he made us man and woman. So we could multiply. Amen? We could have children together. Isn't that something? Isn't that funny? Everybody says follow the science. Well, that's probably pretty good science. Well, how many think that's pretty good science? It is to me. He made man and he made woman. That's it. And the reason why is because I want you to have children. I want you to have babies and fill them up and take care of your babies and let your babies have children and your children's children have and have great children and grandchildren and great great grandchildren, right? You got a great grandchild coming. Grand. Yeah? Oh, grand one. See, I don't want to upset the world, but it took a man and a woman. I'm sorry, I'm just saying. But see, he made Adam and Eve, and he smiled. He put them in the Garden of Eden, and he smiled. Perfect. They might have to do this or do that. They didn't have to worry about money. They didn't have to worry about food. They didn't have to worry about water. They didn't have to worry about pain. They didn't weren't going to grow old. But see, that's not what God wanted. He created them to start. But God's got a bigger plan. I want you to understand something. As smart as you think Satan is, and he's not, he's a liar and the father of it. He just never gets it. Amen. I'm glad he doesn't. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm glad Satan doesn't get it. You see, because these two people were in the Garden of Eden. Everything was perfect. How many know when things are perfect, it's easy to love? Oh, God, you're so good. Oh, I got this. I can eat this. I'm going to sit here. No, I'm going to sit over here. Oh, the water. Look at the view. Oh, I love you. He said, yeah, you love me? Wait, you don't even know me, he's saying. So Satan says, you know what? He's mad at me. I hate Eve. I hate her. I hate her. She's created. I hate her. So he went and enticed her. And Adam ate the apple, which, hello to sin. Amen? Everybody said, that's the first sin. God said, gotcha. God says to Satan, I got you. And Satan, what are you talking about? What do you mean you got me? Look what I just did. And God stood up and said, now my people will know my forgiveness. My people will know my compassion. My people will know my love, because now I have to be the Savior. I will save you from what the devil did. Now you love me from your heart. You don't love me because I gave you everything. Anybody ever know that somebody spoiled doesn't know how to live and how to treat it? God is saying, I created all this for you. Yeah, and Adam and Eve, that's true. But when the serpent did that to Eve, he didn't understand that he opened up God's compassion on the world. There was no need for God to have compassion in the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. There was no need for forgiveness, no need for anything. But once Satan did that, he didn't understand. He opened up God's door. He just opened it wide, and God shot right through with the light of God. I'm going to forgive my people. And not only that, after he sent his son down here to pay the price for all our sins, you see, that little sin with Eve opened up the door for Jesus. There was no need for Jesus in the Garden of Eden. Everything was great. And there was no reason to go. Everybody loved him. Even the serpent did not see his first lie actually exposed who he was and opened the door for God to bring his compassion, forgiveness, love, goodness, and his glory to mankind. Good versus what, church? Evil. Now you have a choice. You have a choice. You want to be with Satan or you want to be with God? That's your only choice. I don't care what you call the church. A church is just a building, and there's people inside worshiping whatever they worship. A religion is just a belief. Amen? But there's good and there's bad. There's God and Satan. You get to choose, and God wants your heart. He wants you to choose him. You see, it couldn't happen before Satan did that little trick with Eve. But now that he did that little trick, it opened up God to the whole world. God said, I forgive you. I love you. I have compassion. And people say, yeah, it's pretty bad. You can't believe. Y'all see how bad it is. Amen? Good versus evil. Don't let your anger rise up. I got that written right here. You might want to write that on your refrigerator. Don't let your anger rise up. The Bible has been written to show us. These letters are for food for our soul, for our heart and our spirit. I tell you over and over again, church, this Bible is for you. This is food. This is roast beef. This is prime rib. This is steak. This is lobster. This is scallops. Whatever you, this is pierogies. Right here, this book, for you. So you know the difference between, and you see Satan, and you see the evil, and you know what it is. But don't let your anger, please hear me, don't get angry about it. Rise up. God told you, I just read that in John. He told you it's going to happen. False teachers are going to happen. False prophets are going to. He told us. He said, I told you that. So when you see it, you say, I see it now, Lord. Praise God. Let me tell you something else that's in the Bible that you might not know. There's nothing new under the sun. Anybody? There's nothing new under the sun. Anybody know what that means? It means that there's nothing we've done that God hasn't seen before. Nothing. Nothing. We can't do anything that he hasn't seen before. And I'll take you right back to Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels of the Lord came down and went to Lot's house, and he lets them in, and the people banging on the door. Hey, bring those people out. Send those people out. We want to have sex with those people. Men wanted to have sex with men, and they wanted Lot to let the angels out so they can have that. Amen? People say, well, there's not really a lot. Now, it's right there, Sodom and Gomorrah. They said, send them out so we may know them carnally. Amen? And then the angels reach out and pull Lot back and put blindness on them so they couldn't see anything and they were blind. How many know that the blind lead the blind? And it said, when the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the hole. That's what the word says. So you let the blind, listen, you let the blind lead the blind. Don't get in the way. Don't get in the way. Don't get tripped up. Don't get caught up. Can I get an amen? So there's nothing new. If you read that story, and I know we're going to, next week, I have somebody asked, and I can use this right now, but people think that God is a gentle God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You know what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, get away, and get away now. And when everybody got away, boom, gone, zero, nada. You know where it is? You can't find it. It ain't there anymore. How many remember when the Israelites were going and across and trying to get to the promised land that God had enough of them? He was enough of their argument. What did he do? He opened up the earth and thousands of people fell in this hole and the earth closed up, gone forever. You don't tempt this God. You don't mock this God. You don't push God around like that. Amen? Gone. So nothing you see today is anything different than what's been happening since the world created, since Satan got involved. And why is Satan involved? Because he what, church? Hates you. He hates you. Anybody who does anything for him, understand, you're playing with somebody who hates you. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to the world. You get conformed to the word of God. This is your truth. A religion is a particular system of faith and worship. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 15:14 says, let them alone. The blind, they are blind leaders of the blind. Both will fall into a pit. Thank you, Lord. My wife read me something the other day. It was amazing. Not surprising, but amazing. They called themselves, I don't even want to give them that, but I have to, they call themselves progressive Christians. They're progressive Christians. This word isn't right to them any longer. This world doesn't, this book doesn't pertain to, oh, God was wrong. He didn't mean that. He means that we should all just love and live and do whatever we want and live the way we want to live. And the word of God was just, oh, it doesn't mean that. The word doesn't mean what it says. It means something else, what they want it to say. They call themselves progressive Christians. They absolutely mock the word of God. They blaspheme the word of God. They blaspheme Jesus. They blaspheme anything in the book they don't like. And she read me this stuff, and I could feel my spirit like getting, just like, almost say, please stop. But I sometimes you got to have a little knowledge, a little wisdom to understand what the enemy is doing. Then I looked at the book of Jude. And I remember in the book of Jude, Michael, who fought for Moses' bones with the devil, he didn't call him names. He did nothing to them. He just rebuked the devil and took the bones of Moses. You see, and that's what the Bible tells us to do. Don't run. Don't walk away from them. Run. Run away from them. These people are an abomination to God. Whether they want to believe it or not, it's not up to you. It's what they believe. Because Satan, the one who hates you, hates them. And they don't even know that they're bought and paid for by him. That everything that they believe is contrary to the word of God. And they got whatever reward they got in this world while you wait for yours in heaven. Amen. While you wait for yours to be rejoined with those you love. You wait for the peace and the blessings. They're looking for today. And that's all they have. Amen. But I tell you again, run, don't walk away. Don't argue with them. Don't nothing with them. You walk away. Almost don't listen to them because it affects your spirit. You see, Satan just wants to affect your spirit. It said there will be mockers in the time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the spirit. Amen. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. They will do awful things to you and say, oh, I did it. God told me to do it. I did it to honor God. It's a lie. You all know it's a lie. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. It says in Jude, there will be mockers in the time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. Amen? You're to run away from them. You're to rebuke them, which means just harshly criticize. Just put your hand up and say, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. You shun them. You shut them up right there. I rebuke you. I don't need to hear your words. I don't want to hear your words. You live with your words. The Bible tells me that you were coming. The Bible told me that you were going to be here. They're filling up churches. Amen. Understand that. They're filling up churches with this nonsense. But a church is just a building. Amen. We're standing on the Word of God in this building. That's why we pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. They can't stand up there and say that and then say, oh, by the way, the Word of God doesn't mean what the Word of God means. Satan left heaven because of jealousy, hate, and rage. And he came down here because you were created in his image. I will tell you again, Satan hates you. Hates you. He thinks that somehow if you can separate you from God, he has a victory. Again, he doesn't understand the mercy of our Lord and Savior. He thinks if he can make you sin, you make you fall back. He doesn't understand God. It was because of the sin with Eve that God could open up the gracious doors of his forgiveness. Amen? And God could be the great. And you love him because your heart loves him. Give him praise, church. I wonder, why did he leave heaven? Anybody ever wonder that? I don't understand. Why was he fighting with the angels? Because God said, let there be light. And he knew that his time was over. Amen. He was still going to be with God. He would still be in heaven. He would still be beautiful. But he wouldn't be you. And he wouldn't be made in God's image. And he knew that he had to leave. And he knew that he had to come after us. And he comes after you every day when you open up the door for him. Just like he told Cain, sin is at your door. If you see that every day, understand sin is at your door. Walk away. He said, don't argue with a fool. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. How can you look outside and see there's no God? Brother Frankie was talking about Orion and the stars the other day at a Bible study. He was talking, and I said, God created all that for us. There's nothing under the sun that God hasn't created. That sun, the stars, the universe. He created all of that as a package for us. There's a reason for everything that we see. And God, someday maybe he'll explain some of it. But he created this for us. Not for any angels, but for you. He did something for you he never did for the angels. And imagine how many people follow Satan. Understand that angels also had that free will. Isn't that amazing? They had free will to follow him, and they followed him. Imagine that. So if he can tempt other angels who are in heaven, how easily can he tempt us? He tried to tempt Jesus. Understand that again. If he came after Jesus, he's coming after you every day. But greater is he who is in you than is in this world. Let me say that again. Ready, church? Greater is he that is in you than is in this world. God is inside of you. His spirit is inside of you. Nothing to be afraid of. God, you're greater with God. Amen. God is with you. He's never left you. And the more you let him in, the more you feel that, the more you see that, the more your life changes. That's what you need to know. You don't fear because you have the greater one inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have God's love, and you have angels around you to keep you safe. Hallelujah. That's our Lord and Savior. And you have even greater. You have the Son of God, who gave his life for you, who paid the price for every sin that you will commit, every iniquity that you commit, he gave his life for. His stripes, it was written and beaten for every sin that we're going to commit, every iniquity you have. He's saying, I'm going to pay the price for you. Amen? He took the bread and broke it and blessed the bread. And he said, this is my body being torn for you. This is a piece of cracker, okay? And this is a little juice. What you're doing is an outward expression saying, Lord, thank you. That's all you're doing. You're saying, Lord, thank you. And he says in the Bible to do this in remembrance of him. That's what you're doing this morning in Jesus' name. God, I love God and Jesus. I love what they did. They just do really. God's pretty smart. He's pretty smart. He's really smart. God's really smart. Clever and wise. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities of this week. Anything, Lord, that casts a shadow upon us with you, Lord, remove them, Lord. Remove any of our thoughts, our actions, our deeds, Lord. Cleanse us. Keep us cleansed, Lord. Help us to stand up stronger. But this morning, Lord, forgive us for our iniquities, Lord, so we can receive the sacrament of your blood into our body, Lord, as you poured the wine into a cup, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." He simply said, "Do this morning in remembrance of me," in Jesus' name. That's what you did. Right now, this morning at 11:40, you're in obedience to God. What a place you're in. You're in obedience to God right now. You just did what he asked you to do. It didn't cost you. It wasn't anything. You just did it according to God in your heart. Your forgiveness is real. Can I get an amen? Your forgiveness is real. You've been forgiven. Give him praise, church, because of what God is doing for you. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow. Just to understand what's happening in the world. Read the Word of God. It tells us these things are going to happen. People are going to do things to you, and they're saying they're serving God by doing it. Just understand what I just read. It's a lie. Amen? It's a lie. Don't be fooled. Don't let God. God said, "I will not be mocked." Trust me. He did it with Sodom and Gomorrah. He did it with the Israelites traveling with to spread the earth. Amen? Don't. God isn't forgetful. He's smart, though. He's smart. Remember when I said a little while ago, God said, "Let there be light," and Satan said, "What? What do you mean?" Remember the other time I told you that, when Jesus was on the cross? Amen? And he's on the cross, and he said those three words. What did he say? He said, "It is finished." And Satan looked at him and said, "What? What do you mean?" God's pretty slick. Your God is pretty slick. The God you love is pretty smart. You ought to give him praise and know that he's with you. It is finished. What? You mean I lost again? And he keeps losing. Praise God. Thank you. What a beautiful day. Hallelujah. I hope something today made you think. Some of the things we read today and some of the things we talked about, I hope it makes you think. Amen. I know whose side you're on. You know whose side you're on. But sometimes we fall. Sometimes we trip. Sometimes we forget that God is really in control. See, having faith means sometimes not saying anything, knowing God sees it and understanding it and just giving it to God. When you hear the abominations that my wife read to me that day, you have to run. Don't walk. Run away from them. They're abominations to God, and the last place you want to be is in the shadow of those abominations. The last place you ever want to be is close to anybody who believes what they were preaching. Because what they were preaching, the Bible calls ungodly. It's okay to say it. That's the truth. We're not judging anybody. We're judging them by what they said. And we're standing on the Word of God together so that we can be one body, one church under the Bible. That's our only foundation. And trust me, people are coming after it. So you stand on that Bible with both feet and you ingest that Word inside of you so you have the wisdom and the knowledge to know the truth. And the truth will keep you and set you free. And when you see a fool, don't argue with a fool. When you hear that, run. Don't walk away from them. You keep yourself and your spirit safe. You're not going to change their mind. It's not your job. You just shine that light. Amen. You shine the light of God on you. And just believe God. We need to remember every prayer that we made, every single prayer that we made this week, how God answered those prayers, every single one of them. However it was, that God has a way. God will make a way.